Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today is episode 119, Thursday Thoughts, Magic Complications. To be honest, this is actually Friday night. The reason for the delay is yesterday was my granddaughter's preschool graduation, and then we had some nasty thunderstorms, so I didn't get my planned episode recorded. However, I did have the notes sketched out and ready to go. Then after work, I dozed off in my chair, so I'm now at 9:30 in the evening, trying to get this recorded a day late, because tomorrow will be Saturday Scrawl. On to the episode. In Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition, there's an explanation that magic works by channeling power from the positive and negative material planes. You can find the explanation for that on page 40 of the Dungeon Master's Guide. It mentions in a total of 5 paragraphs how it works. It explains the reason for the somatic motions and material components and so forth, because the spoken words actually trigger the release of the magical energy, and the hand movements are usually required in order to control and specify the direction, target, area, etc. of the spell effects. When spell energy is released, it usually flows to the prime material plane from the positive or negative material plane. To replace it, something must flow back in reverse. The dissolution and destruction of material components provides the energy that balances out this flow through the principle of similarity. Sometimes the destruction is very slow, as is the case with Druid's Mistletoe. Those spells without apparent material components are actually utilizing the air expelled by the magic user in the utterance of the spell. Release of word, sound, stored energy is not particularly debilitating to the spellcaster, as he or she has gathered this energy over a course of time prior to the loosing of the power. It comes from outside the spellcaster, not from his or her own vital essence. The power to activate even a first-level spell would leave a spellcaster weak and shaking if it were drawn from his or her personal energy, and a third-level spell would most certainly totally drain the caster's body of life. Finally, Gygax concludes, because spells tap power from other planes, any improper casting is likely to cause the spell not to function, or to malfunction. Such happenings are covered in the various chances for spell malfunction if your players inquire as to how spells work or fail to do so. You can explain without any difficulty the precepts of the AD&D magic spell systems. For background, he refers you to the various books by Jack Vance, or stories, The Eyes of the Overworld, The Dying Earth, The Face in the Frost. It's amazing how well, I remembered the general idea of that, specifically the drawing power from positive and negative material planes. And it indicates that both divine and profane magic utilize the same source, as it also mentions druids. Perhaps you could have it defined a little bit differently. Divine magic could come from the same planes as other magic, because the positive and material planes are used as the building blocks of the multiverse. But if you didn't want to have it that simple an explanation, then both the divine and profane power is from the nature and essence of the creature or entity to which a cleric adheres. For magic users, I think of it opening a mini gate to let the power into the plane and that the caster is on. And that's clearly stated by Gygax. He also talks about miscasting. There's not a specific section about mishaps. It's dealt with in the Dungeon Master notes and maybe sometimes in the Player's Handbook about what can happen. But a catastrophic casting that lets in positive energy could have a beneficial effect that is more prominent in an evil place. Perhaps undead will drop or be utterly destroyed. But a catastrophic casting that lets in negative energy is going to have detrimental effect that are definitely more troublesome in good areas. The dead will walk, the sick will die, etc. Energy can go into a vessel that is an object or a living thing. So some high-tech culture might know how to capture magical energy, like in a battery or a capacitor. That's most commonly could be seen as a scroll, a wand, a staff, or other magic item. But it could be some other means. I've just been musing about magical complications, and Dungeon Crawl Classics has quite the list of things that can go wrong with a spell. In fact, each spell has its own list of success, from the least possible success to overwhelming, depending on how well one rolls. And there's problems with spells cast wrong, such as spell corruption. I know a few others have talked about this in the past. I'm not remembering specifics, but how would you implement in AD&D or other OSR game catastrophic spellcasting complications? Would the evil priest trying to attack a good area end up helping the good area defeat him? Would the good guys in an evil area end up increasing the size of the foes they have to face? Would it cause direct damage to the caster or the party? The most obvious example is if something happens to block the path of a fireball, so the fireball doesn't go off at the intended target, but rather goes off shy of its target, such as a door slammed before the spell is cast. If the caster is hit in combat before their spell is cast, unless it's from an item, the spell is lost. How else might the loss of that spell be expressed? I guess I would think of the nature of the spell. So a fire spell would, maybe it would start a fire adversely affecting the caster or the party. Maybe the caster's robes would start smoldering or burst into flame. An electric discharge might cause a shock to do damage to the caster and maybe anybody near the caster. With cleric and druid magic, how would that work? I would say it'd be more likely to fail in that case, unless a good aligned cleric in an evil area might have some other effect happen, and vice versa. For an illusionist, maybe what they intended to bring to life to fool their opponents affects them. I'd say, knowing that you're dealing with illusion, the illusionist would get a bonus on their saving throw to something like that. That does add a bit of complication, but every once in a while, that could be an interesting effect. Maybe you have a limited location, like only a certain dungeon or general area will have that effect, or maybe along what you would define as a ley line. Speaking of ley lines, I was a little disappointed to learn that that is not some ancient idea, but that you connect any two points on a circle, like the globe, and you're going to get a line. Certain ancient cities and buildings and so forth tend to line up. If they're far enough away, you can get a straight line between them and a sequence of them. Ley lines aren't quite as interesting. They're more an archaeological attempt to explain things, and the pop, I'm not sure what you'd call that, modern magic movement bought into it and made it something else, and it's quite well known in popular culture, but I'd look that up in Wikipedia if you're interested in that. But maybe the place where the ley lines meet could have that effect. That way you're not slowing down the game every time a roll is flubbed, but only in certain places. Maybe warn the players that bad things will happen if your spell isn't completed properly. If you're in a location where the ley lines meet or certain other places of power. So I'm curious what your thoughts are. How do you handle magic complications other than with DCC? Oh, and before I forget, one other point I meant to make. This whole section in the Dungeon Master's Guide is Gygax going against those people that wanted a point system for spellcasters. That was his, I guess, line in the sand that it's Vancian magic, because he refers to the works of Jack Vance to explain it. So those that wanted to argue for something else, he said, well, this is why I do what I do, so read this. I guess in some ways I don't like Vancian magic, because you don't get that much to start with. Once you get up to a high enough level, it's a lot more fun, but it takes forever. That's where I kind of like the DCC method of doing it, where until you roll under a certain number, you can keep casting the spell over and over again. And to me, that seems a little bit more, I guess, heroic. And a first level caster is equal to third or fourth level, at least, in the number of times they can keep casting the same spell. And if you get critical success enough times, you can have even more of a boon. I actually, in the first DCC game I was in, had a critical success on a certain spell, and it was such that there was a random determination, and I rolled that I got to use a D24 on all future rolls. That's pretty cool for that character. Not that I get to play that character very often, but it is quite interesting. Call in, share, let me know about your magical complications and how you'd handle them. I really appreciate all of you for taking the time to listen to me today. I hope you're having an awesome day, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the many other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of role-playing games and other games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to multiverse.world by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting out the word is important. Consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on my next PDF, published on DriveThruRPG. Please check out my RPG-related PDFs. I'm working on a card game that I hope to kickstart in the first quarter of 2020. You can find the sign-up for the announcement mailing list on my blog. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.